This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a ground ball to first to Solendit. Contreras has it, steps on the bag, and the Phillies have lost the series to the St. Louis Cardinals for the first time since 2017. As for the second time in 3 days, the Cardinals toss a three-hit shutout over the Phillies. Today, 7-0, the final.
Yeah, that stunk. Welcome on in. Yeah, that was gross. Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A lot to get to today. Some delusion with the end of the Sixers season press conference. We'll get to that. What is going on with this baseball team? A daily mock. We have to update Philly's jail. And, of course, we'll check in with you people. 215-592-9494 on a Monday. Kyle behind the glass. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen. You got to be real comfortable in your manhood to get another grown-ass man's tattoo on your thigh.
Like their name or
their... Yeah, their name.
Okay.
Shout out to the guy who went viral for getting Brandon Graham's name tattooed on his thigh. I mean, listen, BG is a phenomenal guy, phenomenal person, Hall of Fame Eagle, special player, but to get his name tattooed on your thigh, it's a lot.
You know what I'm curious about now? I wonder if any Eagles fans out there have Hugh Douglas tattooed on them.
Hopefully not a guy.
Well,
that would be kind of like, you know, it's just, I mean, listen, I understand, you know, and it's his autograph because I saw it. Buddy got BG signed his leg.
Yep.
And, you know, he got it autographed on his thigh. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, that for you is a conversation piece, but probably for a lot of your friends, if they're real friends, they'd be like, dog, you got another man's name tattooed on your body.
Well, that's why we need you around, to make sure everyone knows
no,
that.
I'm just saying. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, because you've seen guys that have, like, women's names tattooed. You know, the most famous tattoo with the guy had his girlfriend name on his tattooed on his arm or whatever. And a lot of women like to get their significant other's name tattooed, like, on the neck or whatever. You got another grown-ass man name on your thigh. And you went home to your wife or your significant other and told her, hey, listen, hun, BG signed my thigh. And she probably looked at you not really knowing how to say, you know, hey, she probably said, hey, babe, that's wonderful, because she saw how excited you were about having that tattoo.
Yeah, didn't want to tell you the truth about it.
Yeah,
that's why you're here.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I just thought that was a lot.
That's why we have Hugh Douglas. You know what was a lot watching the Phillies this weekend?
It was a lot.
They stunk. I mean, holy moly. What a terrible road trip. They go 2-4 to Atlanta and St. Louis. Two teams that came in to the beginning of last week not playing good baseball at all, right? They get, and I think we understood the Atlanta one a little bit. That's a desperate team.
Yeah, and it felt like a playoff
game.
Yeah,
and we know Atlanta's better than their record, and they'll probably be there at the end. But
not the Cardinals.
The
though.
Cardinals are just totally mediocre, probably below that. They don't have good pitching, and they shut the Phillies out twice on Friday. If you wanted to excuse it, Hugh, because they got in at like 4 a.m., they were a little lethargic, okay. I mean,
What would you say, like, what was a schedule loss?
This Friday was a schedule loss. Yeah, Sunday was
schedule loss.
Sunday they had Zach Wheeler on the mound, and they're facing a pitcher that has really not established himself as anything in the big leagues yet, and they shut him out. The last 20 Phillies were retired in a row. They acted like they just wanted to get on the plane and get home. That was a gross effort by the Phillies. 215-592-9494. And look, I understand that we're reacting strongly to early season samples and all that. But I got to tell you, to start off today, I see real reasons to have concern, like real concern about the Phillies. Not that you throw away every expectation, but there's like if there was one issue, I could say, all right, that's not good, but we'll fix that, or that guy will get better. There's like five or six little things that are adding up to why they're not scoring runs right now and why they're not playing very well. The third baseman is totally lost right now. Alec Bohm is totally lost. This weekend didn't help. Brandon Marsh is 0 for April. I mean, Hugh, today's April 14th. To be 0 for the month is ridiculously bad. Like, it's almost unplayable. They look lethargic out there. They're not getting great pitching right now. Their bullpen, we know, is up and down. The catcher, it looks like, you know, he's had better days. The shortstop's been better than years past, but still, not great. I mean, they're getting production out of Schwarber. They're getting production out of Castellanos. They're getting a little bit out of Harper, but he's getting, you know, walked a lot. Not much there. It just looks like a lethargic baseball team right now. That doesn't give me much sense of they're about to turn this around. I have real concern. 215-592-9494. Hugh, where are you on the team as they tried their third different leadoff hitter this week? They dropped Bohm to the eighth spot in the lineup. Seems like Topper's trying new things all the time, and nothing's changing here. They're not hitting much.
Well, I'm not in full panic mode. I like the fact that Topper's trying to be proactive when it comes to all of this stuff. Yeah. I look at it like this. Like you talked about the leaders on the team and, you know, being walked, that you can't control that.
Right.
You can't control that. That's just something you can't control. But I feel like, you know, we've talked so much about the bottom of this order and what those guys aren't doing. And it's been like that for the last couple of weeks. I kind of feel like even though, you know, when you describe the top of the order and the guys, they're okay. I feel like they need to be better, though. This is where, you know, when people talk about the money that you're making, this is where, to me, that kind of kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the guys on this team, the leaders on this team doing a little bit more. If you know people are struggling around you, sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper to help dig yourself out of the holes that you're in. Not saying that you're playing bad, but if you know that some of your teammates are struggling, and I know a lot of people might not think this is fair, but that's how life goes. It's not fair. You might be asked to do a little bit more. And I feel like that's where this team is right now. The top of that order needs to do a little bit more until the bottom of that order starts to come around just a little bit.
215-592-9494. Unfortunately, it feels to me like an extension of the end of last year. Not so much in how they're losing, but that they're just not a very good team. Like, they're okay. They're good enough. And they're not, you know, a terrible team. But it's not. Like, the first half of last year, there was something special about them. They found ways to win almost every night. And then you got to around June, July last year, and they kind of just were in this weird malaise. And then we hoped when they got to the playoffs, they'd flip the switch. Well, that didn't happen. And that malaise really hasn't gone away. I think about the team so far this season. They're 9-6, which is fine.
Not bad. Record,
not bad. But three of those games were against the Rockies, and they swept them. The Rockies might be the worst team in baseball. They're 3-12. They're getting, I mean, the Rockies scored zero runs this entire weekend in their series against San Diego. That team might be the worst in all of baseball. So if you kind of just remove that series and say, okay, well, they got the worst team in baseball early in the season. They're 6-6 in all the other games. Some up, some down. Not great. It reminds me of the second half last year. And they got to get this together. Look, the Bohm thing, we might be at the point where he's just so far in his head that they don't know what to do with him. Marsh looks like he's so overmatched right now. And you're right, Hugh. It's compound, like the bottom of the order struggles are compounded because they're not getting a lot out of the top. I mean, Schwarber's been their best player this year, and he's been pretty consistent. I'd say Castellanos probably been their second best offensive player. Bryce has been, by his standards, blah, right? Not great so far.
Yeah.
And Turner's been okay, but other than that home run in Atlanta, there hasn't been much umph.
He's been better, but this is just okay. Yeah, this is where you have to do more, man. I mean, and I know, like, for a lot of people, like, what are you talking about? They're doing their job. Da, 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 da. I get that. But when you're like the face of the franchise and you're the star, I mean, it might not sound like a fair thing to say, but yeah, there's more asked of you than there is the average guy. You're held to a different standard. And you might not feel it's fair, but that's usually the case. You know, I remember a story where we were in a special teams meeting, and Coach Harbaugh was here at the time. And I remember everybody was talking. I wasn't saying a whole lot, but I was the one that got called out because he was looking he was looking for somebody to be accountable for. And if he made me accountable, you know, then that kind of got everybody else in lockstep. And right. I remember him telling me that. He was like, Hugh, I had said something. He yelled and screamed at me. I didn't say anything because I knew what he was trying to do. He was trying to reset the room. And sometimes, you know, you might not think it's fair, but that's what's asked of the leadership in your locker room.
Let's hear from one of those leaders. Bryce Harper, after the game yesterday, as the Phillies were shut out, the last 20 Phillies that came to the plate were retired in order yesterday. What a joke that was. Let's hear from Harper after the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to struggle, right? But obviously, it's the big leagues, so you got to try to pull out of it and understand you're going to go through ups and downs through the season, but try to stay as even kill as you can. And always remember, it's not about the name on the back. It's about the one on the front, you know, trying to win series and no matter what you're doing or something or anything like that, you got to keep rolling. You know, I don't want to be hitting 250 right now, you know, but obviously I want to win every day. And, you know, you just got to have that mindset coming in each day and try to win ball games.
What did you make of that quote, Hugh? Because he was asked about what it's like to struggle and how do you come. And he talked about the name on the front, Phillies, not the name on the back. And at first I heard and I was wondering if he was just like talking about himself or was he talking about others that seem to be wearing their struggles? Like, hey, it's not about you, man. It's about the team. I don't know what he meant by that, but that it would seem oddly open-ended.
A little cryptic.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to interpret that because it feels like you were trying to be deep in the moment, really called for. And I like Bryce. I don't understand that though. I mean, because here's the thing, as a leader that I feel, he mm-hmm. might not feel the same way. You can't exclude yourself when the team is struggling. Not saying that he did that, Bryce. If you listen, not if you're listening, not saying that you did that, but what you said leads to that interpretation. When you say things like that, you know, when the team is struggling and you talk about the name on the front and, you know, it's not the name on the back, you lead people to believe that you feel like, hey, I'm doing my job. And that might not, I'm not saying that that's the case, but you open yourself up for that interpretation.
Well, you do. 215-592-9494. Part of the reason I am concerned, I think these concerns are real, is it feels like they're concerned. In other years, when they'd struggle early in seasons, they'd always say, we'll be fine and top of it all. And that would bother people. But ultimately, he was normally right. Like, the Phillies won 89, 90, 95 games. Like, they haven't, they've had a level of play the last 3 years under Topper. And every time they struggle, Topper's like, no worries. It feels to me like Topper's concerned. He's changed the lineup a lot in 2 weeks.
I think when you, and I've said this when the season started, when you go into a season and you didn't change a whole lot, then you have to start doing the little intricate stuff, like the little nuanced stuff.
Yeah. Like the lineup.
And like the lineup.
Three different leadoff hitters in 2 weeks.
And that's the thing, because you have to, you don't have the luxury now of letting it play out. So you have to kind of tweak the lineup a little bit.
I get that. And I don't think in theory it's a bad idea. But I wonder what the players are thinking. We have this very steady manager who never panics or never shows any sort of like, hey, we got to change things up. And in 2 weeks, he's changed a lot. Like, I wonder if it's like a bad cycle, right? Like, they struggle. He's not as relaxed as he used to be. He changes it. They get more concerned, and like it's like a weird circle that's going on.
I look at it like this: if the manager, if I feel like the manager is being weird, in my opinion, then I have to do everything in my power to help him feel better. That means play better.
Yeah.
That means be accountable. That means probably go above and beyond my station and do a little bit more. I think that most of the guys have done that, or they're trying to do that. So I don't have a problem with it. It's just unfortunate. Like, when you look at the pitching that the Cardinals had, it's not great. They ain't no great pitchers. You should have at least came out this series 3-3. You should have came out this weekend, I should say, from this trip in Atlanta and this with against the Cardinals. You should have at least been 3-3.
I agree. And look, Saturday that was a nice win, but they got 5 double plays on Saturday. The Cardinals hit the ball a little bit to the left or the right. They might have got swept out there. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the Phillies? Is it too early to have real concern about where this team is? I don't think it is. There's some trouble in signs here. It's not just one. If it was just Boehm, I'd say, all right, whatever. We'll get a new third baseman. If it was just the bullpen, I'd say, all right, we'll fix the bullpen. There's like 5 or 6 little things they're starting to add up here, and it's why they're not playing great baseball. Kyle, where do you come down on a Monday after the Phillies get shut out twice this weekend?
Yeah, so as good as I felt after they came off that Dodgers series, is about as bad as I feel right now. Like, they brought me right back down to earth. They've not looked good for about a week now, and I guess that's at this point now half the season so far. They've looked good for a half and bad for another, like objectively bad for another. Two donuts against the Cardinals is unacceptable. They made Libertor look like 2024 Cal Quantrill.
Yeah, y'all will never let me lay that one down.
I mean, but like, so we talked about how they look different, and now it feels like that the difference is just different issues with the team. Like, they're not doing the whole, like, chasing, like, literally everything off the plate like they were last year. It's just the bottom of the order stinks. And the guys who are getting paid big money, besides Kyle Schwarber and Castellanos, they don't look like they should be getting paid that money the way they're hitting at the plate right now. Even the starting pitching has not looked very good. Yep. Zach Wheeler's not looked as dominant as he has for the last 2 years. And the bullpen looks like it stinks, or at the very least, is shaky. So there's definitely some concerns. And like, and I think there's two ways to look at the Topper thing. I like the fact, and I still like the fact, that he's being proactive with some of the moves he's making in the lineup. He's getting out ahead of things. I think he's pulling levers to ensure that they win as many games as possible early in the season. But the other way to look at that is that he's making those moves because he has to. Like, he shouldn't, like, we should be a good enough team to where the manager doesn't feel like he's got to be forced to make those decisions like every series or every game and do those kind of things. So I don't know, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword there. I like that he's doing it, but it definitely just, I think, paints a picture of a bigger issue with the team. So it's hard to not sort of start feeling like you should have some concerns with this team right now.
I agree. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Is it too early to have real concerns with the Phillies? Now, this week, starting tonight, the Giants are in and the Marlins are in this week, right? When the schedule first came out, this felt like a soft week. It felt like a week you should win some games at home against the Giants team that has been good. Yeah, has been good for years, and a Marlins team that's always bad. Well, the Giants look like one of the baseball surprises, and the Marlins are 500. I think they're over 500 early in the season. They don't look as terrible. So I still think the Phillies should win this week. They should have more wins than losses. But it's not like they're coming home against as soft as teams as it looked like before the season. So they better wake up. Otherwise, I think those concerns are just going to grow. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the Phillies shutout twice this weekend? Is it too early to have real concerns? I don't think so. There's a lot going. Again, if it was one or two things, I'd say, all right, they'll fix those one or two things. Not easy to fix six or seven problems in a season. And they're popping up here left and right. Chris in Middletown is up to start us off on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy Manic Monday, man.
That's it. Well, that's what we're doing today. It is a Manic Monday because the Phillies got shut out twice this weekend, Chris.
You.
Yes.
You poor man. You're surrounded by a bunch of scaredy cats around that place.
Scaredy cats.
It's baseball season, Chris. You know how it goes.
You know what? Shut up.
Joe, relax. Be like you, eat a steak, have a gummy. It's going to be okay, all right? And Kyle, go shave that disgusting disgrace off your lip, all right?
Excuse me?
The porn stash.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's doing well. Don't worry.
It's thriving.
Got a handle on it.
Opinions, All right. Listen, the weather is going to be warmer this week. We got some home cooking. They're coming back home. The offense will be okay. They're going to heat up. Everything's going to be all right, and we're going to win at least 5 of 7 this week. And, Joe, on Monday,
the dogs disagree with you. You realize that. The dogs totally disagree with you.
The dogs are cooking.
The 10-pound dog is in agreement with you, Joe, so that should make you be a little fearful where you're at. You can be afraid of something else next week, okay? All I kept hearing was it's not about the start. It's about the finish. We got to get hot later in the year. And you know what? FYI, the Dodgers, the greatest thing since sliced bread to ever at baseball that came in here 8-0, they've dropped 3 of 6. And, Joe, they lost 2 of 3 against the Nationals. Should the Dodgers be in panic? Should the Dodgers fans be all up in arms and be like, oh, my God, it's the Titanic sinking? You know what? Here's what I got to say. And all of you people – that said,
wow.
Let's see in October, and I'm not watching till October.
Okay,
you can't complain. Shut up. Get off my grass. It's April, people. A-P-R-I-L. April!
I like where this is going.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate like it. Yeah. Going. Just a different word of the day we're going to chant. It's April. We're chanting April. That tells me more than anything else I should be concerned because you're chanting April! Not a player's name.
It's supposed to be kind of warm today, too.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Yeah, 65?
Yeah.
Is that hitting season? Should we get some offense tonight?
Well, I'm just saying, hopefully.
Like he was using the old cold excuse for a while.
It wasn't an excuse. It was cold. Mm, it's just that I'm tired of turning my heat on and off on a daily basis. I'm just tired of that.
I'm surprised you're even doing that.
Well.
You seem like the kind of guy that's holding strong.
No, you know, usually I would, right? But, you know, my son comes on the weekend and he tends to complain about how cold.
Yeah. So you wouldn't normally if it wasn't for yourself.
If it was just me.
I'm looking at the lows here. This might be our last week. We might be almost out of the woods here.
I might.
So our lowest low this week is 39. But when you get to next week, the lowest low is in the upper 40s, mid 50s.
Okay.
High 70s next week. Yeah, we might be out of the woods here.
I'm tired of playing with that thermostat.
Can I just say, because Chris made the Dodgers comparison?
Yeah.
Like, look, the Dodgers have shown way more that you can trust them. By the way, just came off of a World Series win. I think the difference between the Dodgers and the Phillies right now is like, with the Dodgers, you can see what things are great about their season so far.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies, like, what are the best things we have going for us? It's Lizardo looks good.
Schwarber's
had a great start, and Castellanos had a pretty good start.
Other than that, it's PTSD, though, too, Kyle. We got PTSD from last year.
But I feel like that kind of matters, right? Because what should give you confidence that they'll pull it together? The Dodgers have shown that they can start a season and finish it as the best team in baseball.
The Phillies haven't. You're right. It's one of those things. That's why I'm not mad if Phillies fans call in today a little bit upset or they're panicky because there's a lot that's different, but there's a lot that's eerily similar to last year.
Yeah, and if we're just going by the kind of the ledger Kyle just set up there, like what's been great so far? Like what do you feel really good about? Schwarber, Luzardo. Castellanos has been good.
Yeah, like
there's less of that than what you are concerned about. The bullpen
less.
And Nola's velocity. Again, they didn't score on Friday, but his velocity again was low.
Like, at the start of last season, even though I think they might have been like 7-7 to start the year, but like I think there was a point where you sat there and told yourself, "Wow, we might have the best pitching in baseball."
Right? Yeah, that was definitely said.
Yes,
I don't think do we have the best anything in baseball right now?
No. DH.
You beat me too.
Yeah. Schwarber and Ohtani. I mean, like one of the two best DHs. Like that's not a lot to hang your hat on. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Is it too early to have real concern? The Phillies just had a terrible week. I mean, 2-4 stinks. And they got shut out twice in St. Louis. That team's not very good. St. Louis is not a projected playoff team. They have very mediocre pitching. To get shut out twice. And then yesterday, it just feels like they're lethargic. It feels like they're going through the motions sometimes here. It's almost like I'm watching August baseball in April. That's not what you want. All right, we'll get to some specific concerns with the team next. One or two players in particular that right now are just in a bad, bad way. 215-592-9494. And we got an incredible prize to give away today. We'll tell you about that, how we're doing it. Is it too early to have real concern with this Phillies team? A 2-4 road trip, shutout yesterday. Again, the last 20 batters that went to the plate yesterday made an out. What are we doing? 215-592-9494. Your phone calls in the Phillies. A lot to get to today. We'll tell you about the prize next and how we're giving it away on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.